Well, good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome you to Crossroads. I invite you to take out your teaching outlines as we are continuing our message series each Sunday titled Rep Your Faith. And it has been a joy to go through this understanding that God has a purpose for our lives in that He calls for us to represent our faith on a daily basis. And I think that's extremely important given today's times because I think we could all agree that we live in a very, very confused world. Would you say the world is very confused when you look around? Well, in a confused world, the best way that we can represent Christ, and you're going to want to write this down, this is very important. This helps keep us anchored when we go through difficulties. In a confused world, you best represent Christ by having a clear message. It's so important to have a clear message, as well as believing a clear message. Because in this world, there is, without question, a lot of confusion. There is a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of doubts. And in the midst of all of that is this confusion that people have. And when you think about confusion in this world, some of it is trivial. Some people are confused, and they're trying to fill that confusion by getting more possessions. Maybe have more popularity, more power, whatever it may be, more prestige. You know, if I can only have this, if I can only have that, and then that'll bring me a sense of clarity in my life, although that's very trivial. But then there are those who we know and love, maybe some of you here today. Suffering brings a sense of confusion. Okay, what is God doing? What's His plan? What's His timing? How is this going to work out? And so whatever it may be, we can have confusion that surrounds us. But it's knowing and believing in a clear message that God has given to us that helps us get through our own confusion and helps us to help others cut through their own confusion. Now, there's a purpose of having this confusion in our life, and we know ultimately that the cause of it is just sin. We understand that. But by God's grace, He's given us a message of clarity, and there's a purpose in that. You'll notice this in your notes as well as you look down a little bit further. One of the purposes that God has given us this message of clarity is this. It's to help others see God's peacefulness. People need to see God's peace. You and I need to see God's peace when we're going through difficulty in our life that has, without question, led to confusion. People need God's peace. And so when you think about church should be a place that has peace in it. Church should be a place that shares the message of peace. Church should be a place that is orderly, that is giving off the aroma of peace. That is why in 1 Corinthians 14:33 it says this, for God is not a God of what? Confusion. Not a God of confusion, but He is what? A God of peace. You know, in 1996 there was a song, and it just goes to show you, some songs are so ridiculous. All you need is a beat and like one or two words, and you could be a rock star, okay? And there was this song that came out in 1996. By the way, don't go home and waste your time listening to it, okay? But it was How Bizarre, right? This song, How Bizarre. And the music video is even more bizarre than the lyrics, okay? And so, you know, how bizarre, how bizarre. And sometimes some Christian people, that's how you could sum up their beliefs. In fact, that could be their hymn that they sing at church, How Bizarre. Because they believe in very bizarre things, and they act in very bizarre ways. And what that does is, to a world that is looking for legitimate peace, by the way, in all the wrong places, when they finally do come to church, the last place that they should get a sense of being bizarre, last place that should be singing How Bizarre is the church. The church should conduct itself in a way that shows peace. Our practices should be peaceful. How we treat one another should be peaceful. How we worship God should be peaceful. How we believe from God's word should be peaceful. We don't want people to be coming here singing How Bizarre. If you want to be bizarre, well, don't go to a circus, I guess. When we come to church, it's not about us. It's about who? It's about God. And that gives off a sense of peace to people. Because what good is it if we just act religious here, but it doesn't work for us out there on Monday morning when we have the dark nights of the soul? We need this peace beyond the four walls of the church. So if people come to church and it's just a sideshow, it's just a circus, it's a bizarre old circus, you know what? That's not going to help anybody. What we need are concrete beliefs And the last time I checked, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we have these promises that give off peace. And we trust God for miraculous things. You know, the reason why people don't believe in miracles is because I think a lot of Christians are too busy practicing bizarro practices. That's why. But if we believe in a God, the God of heaven, the God who sits on his throne, we will have the faith that we need to get through our confusion, not create more confusion. And so we want to help others see God's peacefulness. Next, we want to help others see God's goodness, the goodness of God. You might not realize this, but the most recorded miracle in the Gospels is what? The healing of blindness. I think that's for two reasons. First of all, you can't fake blindness. You're either blind or you're not, okay? And so today, with a lot of people who try to fake healings on television, it's amazing, God only heals at 7 o'clock when their broadcast comes on. I've always found that ironic. God can heal. By the way, if you've stopped believing in miracles, let me remind you that God could still do a miracle in your life. And it doesn't have to happen at 7 o'clock or 11 o'clock. God will do it when he wants to do it, okay? It's not about a TV program. It's about the Holy Spirit power. We must realize that. And so I think sometimes we're skeptical to believe in God because of how perverted people have made and how bizarre they've made some of the practices of Christianity. But let us not be robbed and let us not stop believing in the God who could still do miracles in our life. And so the most recorded miracle in the Gospels is the healing of blindness, I believe, because God knew how man would pervert the miracle-making power of God. And so blindness is that healing of blindness, which is beautiful. I mean, think about Jesus healing people who are blind. He would either touch their eyes or he'd heal them with a word, and then they were healed. They didn't have to wear a patch because they had to adjust to the light. They were instantly healed. He touched the nerve endings, the optical. It's an amazing miracle when you study the healing of blindness in the Gospels. And so I believe it was done for that. But it was also done as a showing of the spiritual healing that God wants to give. That all of us, at some point or another, we are spiritually blind. And God heals us from that. He heals the confusion that comes with blindness. You know, it's sad when somebody is blind or they are going blind. They have to enhance all of their other senses so that they could get around. I just heard about somebody the other day who had gone blind, and they know their way around their house. Their senses are helping them get around, but still the things that they used to love to do, they can't do anymore. And there is that sense of confusion that goes on. And so Jesus healed blindness, spiritual blindness, so that people could know the truth, so they could see clearly. And so that's a sign of God's goodness. We want to help people see God's goodness. And then finally, another purpose of having the clear message is to help people see your genuineness. You know, it's not about how fancy you talk. It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about your merit list of things you've done. It's about your genuineness. If you are humble, transparent, and sincere, that draws people in. But a lack of it pushes people away. I mean, people will repel you as if you were just like a walking body odor, okay? I mean, they will want nothing to do with you if you are disingenuine. No one's going to hear what you're saying if your conduct is disingenuous. And so God wants us to be genuine people. Hebrews 13, 18, actually there's a prayer request for this. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. We should be praying. We should, you know, pray for me that I would be honorable, and I'll pray for you to be honorable. Because your honorable behavior is a tremendous statement of the message. So you don't want to send mixed messages to people. Yeah, live for God on the cross and listen to what I say, but don't do what I do, right? That's how some people parent. Listen to what I say, but don't do what I do. We don't want to be like that with other people. We want to be living and doing the same thing. We don't want to have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde testimony. We want to be who we are for Christ. Now, there is a way to model all of this. There's a way to have a clear message. Now, I shared with you weeks ago and each week preceding that the theme for this message came out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so since that is the theme of the message, one of the messages in this series I wanted to put towards the back end was going to be from this text. And so I want to invite you this morning to turn to our primary text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading from verse 18 down to 21. And so it's here in this passage that we are told to be God's representatives, thus the name of the series, Rep Your Faith. And thinking about being God's representatives, it's important that we have a what? A clear message. We need to have a clear message so that our faith could be advancing, but also that we can help others advance in their faith, especially through their confusion. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he is encouraging them. This is the second letter that we know of that he has written to this church. And this church, is, some of you may be aware, is very affluent for numerous reasons. One of it's because of its geographical location. And so with affluence comes sometimes a cockiness, sometimes a distraction, and by the way, a confusion over what matters most. So much so that Paul had to previously write to them about love, because they were even messing up spiritual gifts and communion. Right between the teaching of communion and the listing of spiritual gifts, Paul had to give a whole discussion on love because they were even messing that up. There was just confusion in how they treated each other, how they related to God, and how they used the blessings that God gave to them. And so there was confusion. Even though this church had what most other churches that Paul started or wrote to didn't have in terms of possessions and power and prestige, they also had confusion. And Paul had to address that. And so starting in verse 18, after giving a lengthy description of the meaning and the significance of the crucifixion and the resurrection, core beliefs that we hold to as Christians, it says this, starting in verse 18, you'll notice this in your notes and in the scripture, all this is from God. And you just want to put a line there, because that phrase right there helps us to go back to the previous 17 verses of this chapter. Namely, the 17th verse, which came prior to this, which is a verse that some of you may be aware of, which says that in Christ we are a what? A new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so that has been what the whole chapter has been about. Paul has been explaining that in Christ we are a new creation. That by God's grace, the old ways of how we used to be have been crucified to the cross, and we're blessed to have a new way that we are to live our life. That we have a new message that we are to be about. Because let me tell you what the old message used to be. How great is Ray, right? How, instead of singing How Great Thou Art, that's what we sing now. And you just don't laugh. You substitute your own name in there, okay? That's how we used to be. But the new song, the new message is How Great Thou Art. Amazing is your grace. And so Paul has covered all of that. All this is from God. It's not about you and I. We're not saved by our merits, our religious accomplishments. It's not about our religious resume. It's all from God. And by the way, in Greek, all means what? All of it. And not even a percentage. We bring nothing to the table that somehow pushes the envelope of God's forgiveness over. It's all by His grace. It's very clear throughout the scriptures. So it's all from God. Now, don't miss this. Who through who? Through Christ. Very important. Through Christ. Now, this is a very important word to this entire message. Through Christ reconciled us. Can you say this phrase? Who through Christ? That means you participate when I say that, okay? Just wake up here, okay? Let's start from the beginning. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been reconciled through Christ. Reconciliation is a beautiful word. Now, growing up, I remember I was scared to death when I had to go get reconciliation, because there was a lot of things I did wrong, okay? And then you had to go and go to the penalty box eventually and say your sins and all that type of stuff, okay? But reconciliation is a beautiful word. Reconciliation is a significant word in our faith. It speaks of God's redemptive, forgiving power. How through Christ, God has reconciled the world. In other words, when Christ was on the cross for you and I, God was judging my sins and your sins upon Him. And by Him going to the cross, He satisfied the full penalty of sin by being on that cross. And so through that act, we've been reconciled. Our part is by faith, and the only reason why we exercise faith is because of God's grace anyway. By faith, we receive that. So reconciliation is not something we have achieved, it's something we receive. And so through Christ, we've been reconciled to himself. So God has reconciled you and I back to him through Christ. Because think of it this way. A husband and wife have an argument. That never happens, by the way, right? Husband and wife have an argument. And some time goes by. And they stop eating together. Now the husband goes on the couch. And now a week goes by. And there is an obvious separation. The only way that they're gonna fix this thing, and by the way, I'm not talking about anybody today, if that happened today, if you came in separate cars, the church or something like that, okay? What has to happen is they have to talk, and they have to what? Reconcile what took place. And so they have to restore the relationship. That's what reconciliation is. We're being restored back to God. And so that is only possible through Christ. Now notice this. You've been given this reconciliation through Christ, but you're not to just sit on it, because guess what happens? We who have been reconciled back to God, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we're to go and we're to give this out, this reconciliation that has been given to us. That is a major part of who we are as Christians, or at least it should be. Now circle the word ministry in your notes. The word ministry actually is derived from the Greek word that gives the understanding of serving tables or serving meals. It's the component of serving others. So we are to serve up, as if you were serving up a meal, the ministry of reconciliation. You're to serve up reconciliation. And so this is one of the ways that we do it. This is one of the ways we have a clear message. Because this isn't just information time, this is application time. Write this down. Show the message with deeds of compassion. That's what the word ministry means. It means to show and to serve. So one of the ways that we have this clear message in this world is we show the message, first and foremost. How many of you grew up in school playing show and tell? Anybody? They need to bring that back, right? Technology is wonderful, but I just read an article on how technology is turning children into zombies, basically, okay? We need to bring back show and tell. And so I was studying show and tell across the nation and some of the funniest things that kids have brought in and some of the craziest things that kids... I wrote in a few of them. By the way, if some of your children are here, you're listening, this is not for you to do tomorrow for school. But one kid brought in a grenade, okay? I don't know where he got that from. And it was live. So don't pull the pin, I guess, okay? Imagine that, almost gave the teacher a coronary. Many children bring in live animals, rabbits and everything else, and cats, and now they have rules that you can't do that. One kid who was, he was a bug enthusiast, he brought in a collection of his maggots, okay? And so the teacher didn't realize exactly how many maggots he brought in until the kids got up and they were walking, and you can hear the crunching in the classroom that was going on. And so that was a funny show and tell. A lot of kids bring in their favorite toys. And then one kid brought in a snake and they had to evacuate the school. Okay, and so kids bring in the darndest things. But the whole idea of show and tell is let me show it to you and explain it to you. So I brought a couple of things I wanted to play show and tell with you with, okay? Here are some goggles here, okay? And these goggles that I brought in for show and tell, if this was show and tell here, these goggles here are to protect your eyes if you're working with some type of chemicals that could shoot up and hit you in the eyes. Perhaps you are cleaning something in the yard or whatever it may be, or you're working with a tool, whatever it may be. You're protecting your eyes because your eyes are so important. And it's important that you have an elastic string because you can't be working like this the whole time and it's not going to work for you. You're going to need two hands. And so this is an example of what a child might do. Oh, it's clear plastic and they might explain everything about it, the purpose of it, and why you need it. Now, this is my favorite item today for show and tell. These are my actual sunglasses here. Listen, I told you, I got an image to uphold. I got to look cool when I'm walking around. But sunglasses have a purpose, and sunglasses help, obviously, when the sun... These are some Ray-Bans here. I think I found these at a lost and found box somewhere. They're really nice, but these keep the sun out of your eyes, and by the way, you know, it makes you look cool as you're walking around, okay? You know, when you wear sunglasses like this, you'll walk a different way, too, I believe, which I will not demonstrate. Maybe if you come back for the 6 o'clock service, I'll demonstrate it. But the whole purpose, again, of show and tell is a child clearly showing and modeling, and that's what kids will do. They'll actually put these things on. And one of the most scariest moments for the teacher I was reading was when the child had the grenade and put his finger by the pin. And so the point is this, is that we need to be people who are showing our faith, who are showing the reconciliation that's been given. If we've been loved, if we've been forgiven, we got to go show that to people. And so that is why here, I can only speak for our church, but I know that there are thousands of churches across the United States and around the world that do the same thing. It's our job to show it. That's why we got to feed people who are poor. That's why we wrap gifts during Christmas time. By the way, Christmas is in less than 4 months. You heard it here first, okay? That's why we serve children. That's why we make up baskets to give out. That's why you have toy drives. That's why we do all the things that we do, and there's so many of them. That's why we paint schools. That's why we paint schools in each borough, because we are showing God's love. We're showing His reconciliation. Why do you paint schools for? Well, because we are showing the love of Christ, and it cracks down walls. I tell you, over the years, I have met some characters in the schools. And at first you go in there and some of them are very apprehensive about what you're doing. And they everything from cursing and saying all skeptical things about the faith. And I just listen and listen and listen because I know what's going to happen. Soon my opportunity is going to come up. And I haven't said a word yet. That happened just again this past week. I'm talking with this person, but really I've done all the listening. And it started off where there were some insults about the faith. There was a lot of skeptic talk, and I didn't say anything. You know why I need to say anything? Because I serve a king, not a beggar. I don't got to beg anybody to come to Christ or come to church or anything like that. So I serve a king, you serve a king. But also I know that at one point or another in my life, maybe I had a little skepticism in me. And so I'm just listening, and then there it came. This past week, this person started to open up. Why? Well, because we've been showing love in their school. We've been showing love. And there came the opportunity to share Christ. That is how God wants you to do it in your family. For even those hard-headed family members, yes, they're going to say things that get under your skin. Yeah, why do you go to church? We understand all of that. Just drown all that out. That's the blindness talking. Only God could take care of that. You just be consistent and show love and meet needs. And so that's how you and I show that it says the ministry of reconciliation. That's what the Greek word means, to serve. So just look for needs to serve in your own home, with people that you work with people that are on your block, whatever it may be. Look to show the message first. Just like show and tell, show it. Act it out in how you live and things that you could do to help people. I mean, just small acts of kindness go a tremendous way. The church does not need to be known as a talking head. We need to, that's why we're to be the arms and feet of Christ. A lot of songs say that, but we got to actually live that. And so I implore you, this is an active church if you're new to it. We have year-round opportunities. You don't got to be a scholar to do this, by the way, for you to plug in and roll up your sleeves and get involved and to practically serve. We're painting again this week. You want to do that? Put that on your connection card. These are practical ways. I don't know how to paint. Well, you can help clean up. We got to clean. There's lots of things we could do. And that's just right now in August, the end of August. Throughout the whole year, you're going to see sign-ups for opportunities. We'll start sign-ups for the gift wrapping ministry as early as October. Why? Because God's given us a tremendous opportunity to show the love of Christ during one of the most important times of the year, Christmas. So we're to show the message. Because people need it. Flipping over your notes, write this second point down, because what would be show and tell without the second point here? Tell the message with clear communication. We got to tell the message with clear communication. See, sometimes people explain God in a very confusing way to people. They make up stories. Yeah, you know, God is real. He took me in a spaceship the other day up to heaven. And, you know, people make things up. Then that confuses people when you embellish things about God. Just share the promises of God. Something simple by just saying, I'll pray for you. Prayer is, I shared this last week, the lifeblood of the leader. Prayer is one of the most important and most powerful ways to share your faith with people. Again, you don't need to be a scholar to do that. Just be faithful to do that, as we said last week. And so we got to be clear in what we share. We don't want to get caught up in phony experiences and bizarro beliefs. That doesn't help anybody. That pushes people further away. You want to bring people in. And we want to do a good job, and that's why each week we teach from the Bible. We want to accurately explain who God is. We don't want to be like this Sunday school class that was teaching kindergartners that didn't explain enough and go into enough detail about Adam and Eve. The story that I came across was about little Johnny, and he was in his kindergarten class at church, and they were teaching on creation and how Eve was created out of Adam's rib. But they didn't explain it any further. And so about a week later, little Johnny was at home laying on the kitchen floor, and he was holding and clutching his stomach. He had a stomach ache. And so when his mother asked what was wrong, she said, Johnny, get up. What's going on? What's wrong here? He says, Mom, I think I'm having a wife. She said, where'd you get that from? Well, I heard in Sunday school class that if your stomach hurts, that's how Adam's stomach hurt, and that's how he had a wife. You know, Eve came, and she sat him down, and she said, well, let me give you a little something for your tummy here, and you probably need to lay off this junk food stuff. And then she explained to him the story of Adam and Eve. And, you know, today in America, sadly, in a country that this is a free nation which we could read the Bible, we could be at church here, thanks be to God for that. You could have your own Bible. It is not just left here at church. You should have your own Bible. If you don't, we'll give you one. And we live in a free nation, we can study the scripture, yet people think the epistles are the apostles' wives, okay? People think Joan of Arc is Noah's wife, you know? People, unfortunately in America, people are biblically illiterate. And that should never be. And God is saying, listen, you live in a free nation here, you can open up this as much as you want. And you'll read these promises. One of the great promises of God is that ask, seek, and knock. I mean, that's one of the most important things to know when you're confused and you're going through a storm. So many verses on prayer in the Bible, as if God says, get the hint, I want to hear from you. I want you to have a daily communication with me. One of the verses says, pray without ceasing. I don't know how any more clear you could get with that. This is God's word. Now, don't be offended by saying, well, maybe yeah, be offended by saying, I need to be offended sometimes by saying, I need to pick up the Bible more. You need to pick up the Bible more. But let us learn from that and say, you know what? I there's a blessing here. And I want to be able to tell the message with clarity to people because people need to hear the message. But I also need it. I need to know God's promises. I need to know his promise so I could relay them to other people. Now, coming back to 2 Corinthians 15, it says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Now, world doesn't mean that it's blanket forgiveness and everybody goes to heaven. They never have to believe in Christ. The world is speaking in context of this chapter. Those who have put their faith in Christ. Not counting, and I like this part here, not counting their trespasses against them. That's for you and I if we believe. How many of us have trespassed? Anybody? Okay, we all have. Everybody's trespass. In the Hebrew language, trespassing, and in the Greek language as well, trespassing obviously means that God has drew a line in the sand and we crossed it. That's called sin. And so all of us have sinned. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. So God doesn't count our stupidity and our sins, our trespassing against us. And that's a good thing because I've racked up about, I don't know how many miles of trespassing, and so have you. But that's part of our testimony, isn't it? Your testimony would be nothing without giving glory to the one who's forgiven you of your trespasses. You are who you are in Christ today because he has forgiven you of your trespasses, not because of your trophies, but because of the trespasses he's forgiven. And it says this, because he's forgiven you of your trespasses, check this out, just like we had the ministry of reconciliation, he is entrusting to us, here it is, the what? The message of reconciliation. That's the clear message. You know, some people make the message of church and Christianity what? Cut your hair this way. Wear these clothes. Talk in Christianese language. That's not the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins and for your sins, and on the third day rose from the dead, restoring us to him. That is the message. The message has nothing to do with your hairstyle or your clothes style. It has everything to do with the Savior. It's nothing to do with a religion. It has everything to do with the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. That is who we are to worship. That is the message of reconciliation. That is why we don't need to have bizarre beliefs, because we have a very profound yet simple message to tell to people. Romans 10, 14 through 15, you'll see this in your notes as well. But how can they call upon him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. That is what God has called us to do. God has called you. You know, maybe your feet used to walk in pretty dark places, but by his grace you've been saved. Now he wants your feet to go walk other places, and he wants your feet to be bearing the good news, literally, by where you go. Now, how do you do that, you might ask? How do I do that? Do I got to go to Bible school? That might be in God's plan for some of you, but for most of us, the number one way you tell God's message is through your testimony. That's what the woman at the well did. In John 4:39, it says this: many Samaritans from that town, notice, believed in him, that's Jesus, because of the woman's what? Her trophies? No, her what? Her testimony. What is a testimony? Obviously, we understand that vernacular in terms of court and legal proceedings. When somebody takes the stand and they give an eyewitness account or something they heard or something that they were privy to in a case to help bring evidence. Well, the best person other than God to give evidence of your life is who? Is you. And so if God has saved you from an addiction, if you struggle with a battle, the best person is you to share that. That's your testimony of what God has taken you through. And even if it wasn't an addiction, God has saved you and he has taken you. It's your testimony. And he adds to that with your gifts and your abilities. And no matter how long you have on this earth, you want to spend the rest of your life using your testimony to let God be known on the face of the earth. That is what you want to spend the rest of your life doing, because you have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. And your testimony, like this woman. By the way, this woman wasn't caught in the library. Okay, this woman was coming to the well to get water, and she was on her fifth marriage, we find out, maybe more. And Jesus confronted her in a loving way. She puts her faith in Christ, and now she's immediately sharing her testimony. That's what God wants you to do. And again, you don't need to make things up. You don't need to be a flake or a phony or try to fluff it up. What you need to do, just be faithful and just share what Christ has done in your life. That's telling it. Show and tell. Show the message by serving people and doing acts of kindness. Tell people by using your testimony. And I recommend get familiar with a couple of verses that mean something to you and work that into what you share with people. When people ask you, you know, Peter actually gives us some encouragement and advice. It says, always be prepared to give an answer for the what? The hope that is within you, but do it with gentleness. We're not to blow people away and beat people over the head with the Bible. We're to, in a gentle way, tell people about the promises of God and the faith that we have. Now, before we wrap things up, write this last principle down. Show and tell the message. And then finally, rep the message with honorable conduct. We need to live our lives in such a way that the very way that we are living is helping people see this ministry of reconciliation. People need to be reconciled to God, because people, whether they realize it or not, they are going through an internal war in their heart. Maybe you have experienced that in your life. More on that in just a moment. The Apostle Paul says this now in verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, underline the word ambassadors. This is where the theme for this entire series came. I did some digging here. In the Greek language, this is presbos in the Greek language. And the word ambassador means to be the king's representative. See, in ancient times, like when this epistle, this book was written, this letter was written to the church at Corinth, the word ambassador carried with it the understanding of someone who went to a foreign land, and not only did they conduct diplomacy policy on behalf of the kingdom that they were coming from, but they also represented the customs of their kingdom, and they represented the king's wishes. They were, by and large, the representative of the king and the kingdom. That is why Paul uses this word. Paul could have used any word. Therefore, you know, we're Christ's water boy, or, you know, we're Christ, you know, we're the newsman, we're the mailman. Nothing against any of those things, okay? I was a paper boy. I was never a water boy, but nothing wrong with any of those things. It says we are his representatives. He chose that Greek word. We're to represent Christ in all we do. We're not to just to represent him in word, we're to represent him in deed. That's the show and tell. But we're also to represent him in how we act and conduct ourselves. How you treat people is, without question, a thermometer for your temperature and how hot you are for God. We're not to be lukewarm. Well, you want to see how hot are you for God? Well, how do you treat people? You want to see how mature you are? How do you treat people? How do you respond to conflict? These are all messages we've done. Do you show mercy when you're offended? Or do you just blow everybody away and blow everybody up because they stepped on your toes? One of the surefire ways to see if you are truly operating and hitting on all cylinders and being his representative is ultimately in how you conduct yourself. And so we are to be his representative. And you then tie everything else into that. Your disability. Some of us are here today, you have disabilities. And you think that puts you on the shelf. Okay, I got disability. I can't be used. Or I got this in my life. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. Again, we got to take away the excuses. God will use you even in your disability. Even in your lacking. In fact, you will see that your representing of Christ is actually more important when you lack. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And his grace is made perfect, even in our weakness. And so we are his representatives. God making his appeal, notice this, through us. That's why we're here. And Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Make sure that you are restored, that you are living in this reconciliation. Verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin, that's Christ, who knew no sin because he's perfect, so that in him, what a beautiful phrase, in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. That when God looks at lousy, sinful Ray, my account, which was once in the negative, God has deposited righteousness into my account. And now I'm forgiven. See, some of you here are today going, you know, is this real? It is real. There are numerous pictures in the scripture that support that, as well as evidence. We don't have time to go into that today. But this picture of this, think about your account. How many of you have ever had a negative account before? Oh, that stinks, right? Bank, oh boy. But what if you went to the bank because you got a phone call and said, you know, your balance was in the negative, but somebody just deposited $1 million and we got to verify funds. You might run to the bank in your pajamas, okay, without any shoes on. What? God has done that for you and I. We had a negative balance. We were spiritually bankrupt. And through Christ, in Christ, don't miss this, God has deposited the righteousness of Christ into my account and to your account. Now, you may have tried religion, but God's banking system doesn't accept that transfer. You could try all the sacraments in the world. You could give all the money you want. That does not translate into the currency that God deals with. The currency of God was the blood of Christ.
There could be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And when he was on the cross, darkness fell over the earth. And that is when God's judgment visited earth. And God was separated for the first time ever. You never hear Jesus call God, God. It was always Father. But on the cross, in that darkness, he said God, because that was the first time Jesus was ever separated from God the Father.
So that you never would have to be.
Listen, one day you're going to die and I'm going to die. I don't even care if you're listening, somebody dragged you here, you don't like me, you don't like God. Listen, you need to hear this because tomorrow's not promised to you. You're going to die one day. We're going to die. But eternity is promised to us. I just did another funeral the other day. And I didn't read out of some book that somebody made up. I shared promises from God's word. And I shared with the audience that was there that this person, because of their faith in Christ, is more alive right now than they've ever been before. It stinks for us because we say goodbye right now. But there is a home in heaven because of this verse. Because we were spiritually bankrupt. One day my number's going to be called and your number's going to be called. Because of Christ's righteousness, not religion. You will have eternal life because Jesus went to the cross and died in my place and died in your place. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, because what good would it be to be forgiven this life, then we drop dead and we just go into oblivion? No, he rose from the dead because one day when you die, forgiven in Christ, you're going to be raised in glory too. And all of the confusion, all of the struggles, all of the problems, all of the disabilities, all of the drama of this world will be left right where it belongs here. And so, with that said, why not rep your faith? People need this. People are trying to fill this with everything else. Money, power, lust, greed. The world is literally falling apart, it seems. We need this clear message. And the clear message is Jesus Christ loves you. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. So stop wasting time by having a dishonorable conduct that just confuses everybody. And I close with the thought I started this point with. People have an internal war going on. In the last 5,565 years, there have been almost 15,000 wars, large and small, that we know of in world history. As we sit here this morning, there are dozens of small and large wars going on. The history of mankind is a story of wars. The story of the gospel is that God has come to bring peace to the war that's going on in your heart. By faith, receive this, but don't stop there. After you receive this, rep it. Rep it to your family. Rep it to your community. And again, if you've been coming to this church long enough, especially during this message series, we're not telling you to rep it like some phony. We stand, we're diametrically opposed to that behavior. We already said, we don't want to be the church that sings, how bizarre, okay? We want to be the church that sings, how great thou art. That's what we want to be. And we do that by putting all the focus on God. And listen, however long he gives us, let us use our gifts, our abilities, our testimonies. Let's throw it all in for his glory. Let's live for his honor and his glory this day and each day that he allows us to draw breath on this earth. It might be said of us that we have one message. We believe in one God, one Savior, one death, one resurrection in Christ, one clear message. And that message centers on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of any better king to represent than Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Bow with me for a word of prayer. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you have never accepted Christ into your life, my friends, stop waiting for religion or anything else. You need Christ. Tomorrow is not promised to you. You need Christ. You need him. You need his forgiveness. This is the clear message you've been waiting for. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That the wages is sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let me lead you in a prayer today. How beautiful is this, right in church, in the quietness of your own heart, no fuss, no huss, right where you are. Pray this prayer. You need this prayer because one day we're all going to die. And better to have Christ in your heart. You know you're a sinner. You've been having this war going on. You feel this tug in your heart right now. That's the Holy Spirit. Stop fighting it. Accept Christ. And then live the rest of your life, just honoring Him with your life. Humbly, quietly. Repeat this prayer in the quietness of your own heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins to You. I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins and that He rose from the dead. Forgive me, O God. Grant me eternal life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Whenever you have bowed and eyes closed, if you pray that prayer after service, please come up and let us know. We'd love to talk with you more about that. And if you have any questions at all about the Lord for any of us, please don't hesitate without coming up after the final closing song. But let me just pray a prayer of blessing for all of us. Father in heaven, we thank You for this message of hope, this message of peace. We need it, O God. We have confusion, we have struggles and burdens, and we have battles in our own life. We thank You for Your love, O God, and Your mercy. Thank You for this message, the message of reconciliation that You've saved us with and You've called us to serve with. We pray for Your blessing upon our lives, not for ourselves, but for Your glory. I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters here today, O God, who are struggling physically with an illness. Lord, I pray for Your blessing and Your healing to sweep through their lives, O God. I pray for those, O God, who don't even know if what the next year is going to hold for them medically, God. I pray for You to not only change that and heal them, but I pray for You to just bless them with many years, Lord, like You did Hezekiah. Lord God, I pray for those who have financial struggles, oh God, those who have marital struggles, oh God, those who have struggles that they're not telling anybody about. Lord, I pray that we would leave it all at the foot of the cross, that is the power of this message, that You love us and You care for us, oh God. We give You all the glory for what You've done in the past, for what You're doing now, and in faith, we look forward to what's to come. We sow these prayers and ask these blessings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray. Amen.